And I'm running for state senate on the platform Willful Ignorance. I strongly believe Americans want and need a candidate who refuses to be swayed by information. The time for career politicians are over. We need a candidate who will let emotion and inexperience guide every decision, just like the voters he represents. I know my opponent has said some ignorant things on occasion, but only I have a proven track record of complete and utter disregard for knowledge on every issue since before I was born. For instance, when I say taxes are bad, I'm honestly saying everything I know about that subject. I oppose any issue that is complex, like the Ground Zero Mosque, gay marriage, the economy, and photosynthesis. And I won't back down like some Washington crony who learns things. Everything I need to know comes from friends that know just as much as me, the movie Independence Day, and Jay Leno Monica.
We would do the sessions because you'd hear all the sound coming out, and it was just indescribable.
Maintain spending and eliminate the deficit. I'll remove all the troops from Afghanistan and capture Osama bin Laden in my first 5 days of office. I'll make free trade easier, and I'll keep our kids' toys safe. How will I do all that? My strong set of willfully ignorant principles will guide my pursuit. I won't read any bill. Details are for elitists. I will discover all my opinions as I say them, not like those Capitol Hill fat cats with their staffs and briefings. I promise, if elected, I will never learn anything that challenges what you and I already think. Just like American conformists, George Washington, Lincoln Abraham, and Martin Luther King Jr. I'm
welcome to this week's episode of Republican Sex and Marriage Advice, where we are hearing from a young man who wants to know if he can take pills to make his problems go away.
I really want to tell you my name, but is there anything wrong with taking a pill for erectile dysfunction when you're young?
Well, my guess is that you're running from your fears. But it's true. Eli Lilly, Bayer, and Pfizer do strong work. And there are also devices where you put your property in a cylinder and it sucks blood into it, which is a way to avoid pills.
What do you mean, running from my fears?
Limp property occurs for 30 million men in the U.S., which means that worldwide, it's in the billions. Sometimes it's caused by drug use or overweightness, but it may also be stress or performance anxiety.
I guess when I was young, my father used to beat me up pretty bad, and my mother would look to me for help.
You may also have diabetes.
I'm Michael Schrock, and I approve this message. Whatever that means. Everything I need to know comes from friends that know just as much as me, the movie Independence Day, and Jay Leno monologues. I'll cut taxes, maintain spending, and eliminate the deficit. I'll remove all the troops from Afghanistan and capture Osama bin Laden in my my first 5 years. I'll make free trade easier, and I'll keep our kids' toys safe. How will I do all that? My strong set of willfully ignorant principles will guide my pursuit. I won't read any bill. Details are for elitists. I will discover all my opinions as I say them, not like those Capitol Hill chatbots with their staffs and briefings.
My name is Beth Wasp, and I give you raisins every Halloween. 25 years ago, I started the Old Woman's League for Raisins and Pennies Everywhere. That's the OWLRAPE. Now, our goal is to ensure that every child's Halloween is sobered at some point by raisins or pennies in their candy basket. Oh, hey!
No.
So that we're being filmed for our work with the OWL. Desi is the vice president of the organization. We met in our church group, Thoughts on Lavender.
As vice president of the organization, I assist Beth with making sure our contacts from all across this great nation of ours are equipped with the adequate and appropriate amount of raisins and pennies for the upcoming and impending final night of October.
I would like to try anal sex. Is that okay?
It's not okay. Think about it. What's the only organ that you can lose right now and keep living? The sex organ. That means the sex organs don't belong to us. And as such, the human penis is nothing other than the telephone through which God speaks.
Halloween is...
I don't understand. How's a penis like a telephone?
Well, let me ask you. What's a telephone?
Bats. Draculas. Sponge Square Pants Bob. What is that? I think we're just trying to put positive spin on the holiday.
Children don't need all this sugar. They're overstimulated now as it is with televisions. TV is like sugar for the senses. We prefer radio.
Something that makes a copy of someone's voice. doesn't send a voice to another place, it copies it. Now let me ask you this. Whose telephone do you think it is? And do you really want to be putting God's telephone inside somebody's head?
You and I already think, just like American conformist George Washington, Lincoln, I will never learn anything that challenges what you and I already think. Just like
just as this monster does! Look back! Back up! Yeah! Where am I? Ah! I am on a boat!
You say, well, I can't remember the last time someone threw a superhero one, so is it?
Raisins for the senses.
You will get raisins for pennies this Halloween. There's no escaping it, so you might as well embrace it.
If you raisins because they're good for a strong heart, we give you pennies because
we have a lot of pennies.
Security Bear. Hi there, it's me, Snuggly, back to protect you with my warm cuddliness. I'm friendly. Are you wiretap friendly? We're gonna make the internet wiretap friendly because we want you to be snuggly and secure. Whether you're emailing, on Facebook, Skype, or a BlackBerry, we want to listen in and make you safer, just like they do in Saudi Arabia and Dubai. But don't worry, just because we can listen in doesn't mean we will, silly. We'll be good, promise. We just want to be able to do it if we have to. Kinda like installing microphones in everyone's house that we only turn on if you're bad. See, it all started back when we spied on Americans illegally. Then we turned the illegal legal and made the White House more snuggly. And if you want to know more than that, it's a state secret. So you must be a terrorist. If you have nothing to hide, you won't need privacy. And the internet, phones, houses, cars, and streets will all be wiretap friendly, snuggly, and secure. Besides, how do we know who to watch? Unless we watch all of you. We'll be right back. this Halloween, I'm going to be a candidate of rage and tap into voter anger, just like a grown-up. First, I'll find a target for my rage. Well, I picked Obama and the Democrats, because they've been in charge for over 20 whole months. Then, I'll pick a reason for my rage. Well, my reason is that the economy isn't fixed yet. And socialist healthcare global warming camps are organizing to take your guns. Making stuff up is the funnest part of being a candidate of rage. Well, now it's time for me to dress up in scary-sounding ads. Remember to add spooky music.
But little Susie Nuzikin's Democratic opponent loves Nancy Pelosi and Chairman Mao.
Remember to add spooky music.
But little Susie Nuzikin's Democratic opponent loves Nancy Pelosi and Chairman Mao.
Then it's time to get treats from anonymous strangers. Well, they're enraged too, just like me. And if it all goes well, I win. And we'll deregulate, cut taxes, and let the private sector run free, just like before. See? Being a grown-up candidate of rage is easy. Now vote for me! And for change from the change!
WCOM FM Radio, Furious George, Thursday night. Just checking in, letting you know. We're WCOM LP Chapel Hill Carborough. We do this every Thursday as part of the Furious George Experience. And we are spotlighting tonight, being so close to Hallow's Eve. Many different things relating to the scary, scary right wing freaks out there. Yeah, you know who I'm talking about. Republican zombies. Some are just, gosh, they're scary. So we're gonna spotlight that, do some other fun stuff, play some new and old and recently discovered hip-hop, electronica, some people call it. I call it hip-hop. We're also be spotlighting some other fun stuff relating to the Proposition 19 vote, since we're talking about scary votes out there. The Chamber of Commerce has just come out hardcore against the Prop 19 vote in California, so we're going to do our part to also spin in there some of the important news about freeing those people who have been put away for doing things that have nothing to do with the government and shouldn't have anything to do with the government. Yes, I'm not a libertarian. I'm like so far out left, I'm out in front now. Furious George, I'm furious. Happy Halloween. I'll be back.
swayed by information. The time for career politicians are over. We need a candidate who will let emotion and inexperience guide every decision, just like the voters he represents. I know my opponent has said some ignorant things on occasion, but only I have a proven track record of complete and utter disregard for knowledge on every issue since before I was born. For instance, when I say taxes are bad, I'm honestly saying everything I know about that subject.
Sex couples can marry. A place with no zoning laws.
No immigration laws. No labor laws. No gun laws. No drug laws. No laws at all.
Indianapolis can become this place if you choose anarchy.
Under anarchist rule, you'd be able to gay marry a border jumper and spend all your money on heroin and assault rifles just like our forefathers intended. The two of you could even purchase a plot of preserved land and build a home on it and put a casino slash fireworks manufacturing plant in the basement. Purchase a pack of endangered pandas to work in the plant for 23 hours a day. And during the panda's one-off hour, you could make love to one of the pandas, and if the panda gets out of hand, you could shoot it with your assault rifle and then make love to the hole that the gunshot made. And then you could burn the panda in your front yard. That's the Indianapolis I see, and the Indianapolis you deserve. I'm Sandra Larson, and I don't believe in approving messages.
just fucking call him.
Everything I need to know comes from friends that know just as much as me, the movie Independence Day, and Jay Leno monologues. I'll cut taxes, maintain spending, and eliminate the deficit. I'll remove all the troops from Afghanistan and capture Osama bin Laden in my first 5 days of office. I'll make free trade easier, and I'll keep our kids' toys safe.
And jobs have dominated the debate, but at its roots, it's about ending a failed public policy that's put hundreds of thousands in jail and given them crippling criminal records.
Blacks make up 10% of LA County's population, but they're at 30% of the people arrested for marijuana possession.
On this edition, we look at the transforming culture that put Proposition 19 on the ballot, and the changes that might take place if it's passed into law.
Spot so you could go relax and just smoke weed and just chill. You really have to go find these little corners and shadows in the streets where you could come together with your people.
Froggy grew up in Los Angeles. His story is quite common. A young person of color living in an American city who, when he hangs out with his friends, sometimes smokes marijuana. They had to hide it from their parents, but more importantly, from the police.
Growing up in that environment, smoking weed is a norm, you know. It's not like, oh, you smoke weed, then I can't hang out with you. It was like if you don't smoke weed, like, who are you? Do you sure you live here? You know, it's like.
As he got older, Froggy began to question why they were having to hide, when as far as he could tell, they weren't really doing anything wrong, especially compared to some of the other things going on in the neighborhood.
I hate when people talk about imaging and stereotype people that smoke weed and already think of them as a criminal. Really, what is it that you're doing? Are you, like, you getting a gun, shooting people? Like, are you really going on a rampage? Do when they smoke weed, really? Because most of the time, it's more of a casual get together, talk to people. You know, it's more on a like a socializing tip.
In June of 2010, Froggy was one of more than 15,000 activists of all stripes who gathered in Detroit for the second ever U.S. Social Forum. Among hundreds of workshops on issues like immigrants' rights, women's rights, the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, and labor issues, was a gathering titled Legalizing Marijuana for Social Justice. We'll be right back. And the hot topic was California. The state that first legalized medical marijuana in 1996 now has a measure on the ballot that would legalize the sale of pot to any adult over the age of 21. While many other countries have decriminalized pot, California would be the first place in the world where it was completely legal. But despite the fact that marijuana prohibition affects just about everyone at the U.S. Social Forum, people weren't talking about it much. Call it the black sheep of social justice. Even though it puts thousands of people in jail, gets them kicked out of their homes and fired from their jobs, for some reason, people often just smile and giggle when it comes up in conversation.
A lot of us, people who think of themselves like serious political activists, it's just kind of like, it seems kind of trivial. You know, like, okay, yeah, you want to smoke pot, but like, you know, there's important work to be done in the world. And so I think that kind of turns off some like progressive people, but you know what? It's important work.
Jill Harris is the managing director of public policy for the Drug Policy Alliance.
I mean, I had someone say to me yesterday, well, the marijuana is legal, really, isn't it? And that's kind of what people think. And I was at a congressional hearing, and Congressman Rangel from New York said, well, I can't remember the last time.
The last time anyone was arrested in the city of New York for marijuana. I mean, smoking marijuana on the streets of Manhattan, you know, the cop may say, don't do it on my beat, but nobody's getting arrested.
That was a congressman, and in fact, the year before he said that, 46,000 people were arrested for marijuana in New York. New York City is a marijuana arrest capital of the world.
Yeah.
46,000 people were arrested, and our congressman is saying, well, I can't remember the last time someone's arrested for marijuana. So it was just this crazy disconnect that is present a lot.
In 2009, more than 850,000 Americans were arrested for marijuana violations, according to the FBI. That number is the second highest ever, and it means that more than half of the nation's drug arrests were for pot. It's a staggering statistic, but one that runs counter to popular wisdom.
And there are a number of places that have almost like a de facto decriminalization, right? So the cops don't really focus on it. People don't get arrested for it as much. But what that really means, though, is that it gives the police a lot of discretion so they can target the people they do want to arrest. You know, so it has this kind of insidious effect where they're still arresting tons of people, they're overwhelmingly targeting people of color, and yet they can kind of say, well, you know, people don't really get arrested for it anymore, and people think that.
With several hundred thousand Californians using medicinal marijuana, the perception that pot is already basically legal is an attitude probably more prevalent here than in any other state.
There's a large group of people who think basically it's not a big deal right now. You know, you can basically possess marijuana in California. If you do get arrested, you just pay the $100 fine.
But it's far from the truth. According to Tamar Todd, a Berkeley, California-based attorney for the Drug Policy Alliance, that legend goes back more than 35 years, way before the legalization of medical marijuana.
What happened in 1975 was that the state legislature said basically you could not go to jail or prison for personal possession of marijuana, but they left it as a misdemeanor criminal offense. Following that in 1975, the number of arrests did dramatically decrease, but since then, over time, it's gone straight back up to where it was in 1975 and beyond. And when you look at law enforcement statistics within the state, in the last 10 years, or since 1990 actually, the arrest rate for all violent offenses has dramatically decreased.
Yeah, I know that, dude.
Mr.
Spitcoat.
That's the name they gave me.
Hey, bud. Let's party.
Why don't you get a job, Spitcoat?
What for?
You need money.
Bruh, all I need is some tasty waves, cool buzz, and I'm fine.
I'm so wasted.
Why do you shamelessly waste my time like this?
I don't know.
Oh.
marijuana possession, it's gone up 127% in that same time period. So while crime has been decreasing in California and law enforcement has been not arresting people for violent offenses at the rate they once were, for marijuana, it's still skyrocketing, and many people are still being arrested and winding up with a criminal drug conviction on their record for possession of a small amount of marijuana.
My name is Marissa Garcia. I live in Santa Fe Springs, California, which is a suburb of Los Angeles, and I am 29 years old. It was actually the day before my 19th birthday, and I was driving with a couple of friends of mine. At the time, an ex-boyfriend of mine was driving, and unknown to me, he was driving on a suspended license. It was my vehicle that he was driving, and we pulled into a gas station to get some gas. I got out and I went to go pay the gas attendant for the gas, and when I came back, there was a police car parked behind my vehicle.
After running Garcia's ex-boyfriend's license, they arrested him. Then they began searching her car.
And they had found a small pipe that I had forgotten was even in there, a small pipe with ash in it. And the officer asked me who it belonged to, and I told him that it was mine. He wrote me a ticket. He didn't take it away from me. He didn't dump it out. He wrote me a ticket, and he sent me on my way. And this is the first and only time that I had been in trouble. It was my first time in court. I had no idea what I was doing. I mean, I knew that I had the right to a public defender, but I had no idea how to go about asking for one. So needless to say, I went up and I just pled guilty. They ordered me to pay over $400 in fines and court fees, which I gladly paid. I figured, you know, let me pay this fine. I broke the law, and it'll be over with. I can move on with my life. And I thought that's what I was doing until one day I had just started college. It was the spring of 2000. I was going to Cal State Fullerton, and it was my first semester. I just started, and I come from a family, I have a single mother, and I have three siblings who are really close in age, so we depend on financial aid in order to make college affordable for us. You know, at the time I was working full-time and everything, but there's no way that I could have been able to afford tuition and books and everything, so I was really counting on the financial aid. And this one day, I was here, and my mom was on her lunch break, and the mail arrived. And my mom brought me a letter, and she was really excited. She's, you know, telling me that this is my financial aid award, and, you know, let's open it together and see what award I was awarded. And so we sat there on my bed, and we opened it, and it was this letter saying basically that I had left a question blank, and it asked, "Do you have a drug conviction?" So my mom, you know, just says, you know, just answer no and we'll send it back. And I just got kind of quiet, and I told her, you know, Mom, I hate to tell you this, but I don't know if I can answer no. And at the time, you know, I was still thinking, you know, I just got caught with a dirty pipe. There's no way that this is going to result in me losing financial aid.
What Garcia didn't know about is a 1998 law that mandated anyone found guilty of a drug-related offense would no longer be eligible for financial aid. For the first offense, the penalty period would last 1 year, 2 years for the second offense, and a third offense meant indefinite ineligibility.
I called the help number and I was telling my mom, it'll be okay, like, this does not count. They don't mean me, you know, there's no way that they mean me. They must mean, you know, drug dealers or people who are, you know, selling drugs to children. There's no way that this applies to me. So I called the number, and lo and behold, they told me, you know, that you went to court, you pled guilty, you were convicted. You have a drug conviction. You have to answer yes, and you're not going to get financial aid.
Between 2000 and 2006, more than 200,000 students were denied financial aid because of drug offenses, many of them simple possession of marijuana. Garcia told her mother that she would take a semester off and work more hours at the flower shop to pay for college. but her mother insisted that she would not interrupt her studies.
And ultimately, I ended up putting a lot of my books on her credit cards. I mean, she, at the time, she was refinancing the house, and she gave me some money from that. And, you know, fortunately, I was one of the lucky ones. A lot of people, like my mom, if she didn't have those credit cards, if she wasn't in the middle of a refinance of the house, we wouldn't have had the money either. You know, and then the more that I started to learn about this law, the more my shame turned to anger, because I realized that if I had come from a family that was wealthier, that they wouldn't be able to do this to me, because if you're not eligible to receive financial aid, they can't take it away from you. So it's essentially just targeting middle and lower income families, who are the people that need financial aid the most.
I'm sure the 500 years in the making reconciliation of the de facto head of the anti-corruption and the infallible leader of the world's brilliant Catholics is interesting. But the buzz I'm hearing on the street, in the cafes, some of your nicer unisex bathrooms, is that people can talk about little else than something that happened on this very program not 2 weeks ago. I, John Stewart, am announcing that I will have an announcement sometime. It was... I know you remember too. It was the pre-announcement heard round the world. Many say rivaling in anticipation the night before Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech, when he pre-announced, I'm going to sleep now. Let's see how this turns out. Well, friends, the time for pre-announcements is past. Tonight, I bring you the actual announcement! How did we get here? We live in troubled times with real people facing very real problems. Problems that have real, if imperfect, solutions. That I believe 70 to 80% of our population could agree to try and could ultimately live with. Unfortunately, the conversation and process is controlled by the other 15 to 20%. You may know them as the people who believe that Obama is a secret Muslim planning a socialist takeover of America so he can force his radical black liberation Christianity down our throats. Or that George Bush let 9/11 happen to help pad Dick Cheney's Halliburton stock portfolio. You've seen their signs. Obama is Hitler. Bush is Hitler. What's the problem, people? Do you have no idea what a Stalin mustache looks like? It's very distinctive. It's easy to draw. Just think Super Mario's mustache with Wario's personality. We have seen. You have an audience of 9-year-olds. We have seen these folks, the loud folks, over the years dominate our national conversation on our most important issues.
The Republicans want you to die quickly if you get sick.
Obama's plan is going to kill you.
The Republican Party has gone completely brain dead.
Obama is destroying this country.
War criminal!
Do you think President Obama's a socialist?
Sure. Almost crazed teabaggers.
We want our country back!
Here's the deal.
The comfort I take is that you're going to rot in hell.
Obama's brown shirts in the media that insult people.
Go f*** yourself, Mr. Cheney.
You gotta f*** yourself.
talking about. But why don't we hear from the 70 to 80%ers?
Well, most likely because you have to do.
Quite frankly, even if you didn't have to do, you may lack the theatrical flair necessary for today's 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week news media. You may have an assault rifle, but don't think it's appropriate to bring to a rally filled with your unarmed citizen brethren. You may be interested in a topic, but not dress all in pink, cover your hands, fake blood, and act like you snuck into a meeting that's public in the first place interested. But that ends tonight. For tonight, I announce the rally to restore sanity. It is happening, people! It is happening! It is happening! A real gathering!
I'm Furious George. It's 11 o'clock, turning over the hour to the next micropowered DJ, where we will take you further here into micropowered WCOMLP Chapel Hill territory. I've been spotlighting some of the stuff relating to, unfortunately, the crazy drug laws and the crazy right-wing Republicans who are insane and try to enforce them. As well as the left wing, or at least the conservative and the liberal mainstreamers. Furious is way out there on the left side, way out in front, actually. And we do this every Thursday. Stick around. We also have DJ D Fluids here. We will take you later on into restoring sanity. If you have a chance to get to that rally, get there, DC. That would be fun. Anyway, I'm out of here. I'm Furious G. Thanks for listening to Mike Power Radio.
We will gather on the National Mall in Washington, D.C., a million moderate march where we take to the streets to send a message to our leaders and our national media that says, we are here. We're only here, though, until 6 because we have a sitter. A clarion call for rationality. This will take place on Saturday, October 30th, 2010. Now, you're probably saying to yourself, October 30th, 2010. That rings a bell. That rings a bell. The 36th anniversary of George Foreman and Muhammad Ali's rumble in the jungle in Zaire. Yes. But that's not why the date is significant. I'll tell you the significance of October 30th. You see, The Daily Show is actually already going to be in Washington doing shows from Monday the 25th to Thursday the 28th. And we all thought that if we did it Friday, we were still going to be really tired from doing the shows. So we thought we could use the day to just like, you know, and And then we were thinking, like, well, what about Sunday? You know, that's Halloween, and a lot of us have kids. We'd like to see them trick-or-treat, because it just goes so fast. And so October 30th, we thought, well, geez, that just makes the most sense. Anyway, you may be asking yourself right now, sitting at home, but am I the right type of person to go to this rally? The fact that you would even stop to ask yourself that question, as opposed to just, let's say, jumping up, grabbing the nearest stack of burnable holy books, strapping on a diaper, and just pointing your car towards DC, that means I think you just might be right for it. Ah, I see you're intrigued. I see you're intrigued. I see you're intrigued, but there's something still bothering you. As a reasonable, busy person, I'd love to come, John. But I really don't have time to handcraft a message or some signage. Not to worry. That's where we're coming. We're going to have signs for you down there. If you don't have time, of course, you can bring your own. But here's a quick one. I disagree with you, but I'm pretty sure you're not Hitler. A new classic. rule. How about this for the dissatisfied yet non-ideological amongst us?
Got competence?
You know, I noticed there's a lot of conspiracy rally stuff going on at these things. Here's one for our rally. 9/11 was an outside job. Here's one. Legalized pot. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know how this got in there. We didn't put it in there. I think this is actually what happens when signs breathe. Perhaps this one is more to the point. I am not afraid of Muslims, Tea Partiers, socialists, immigrants, gun owners, gays, but I am kind of scared of spiders.
On the mall. You got another thing coming, mister.
Stop me, Cole.
I will. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen, for the Colbert Report. Well, I will announce.
No one will hear you.
Hello? Hello?
Damn you, AT&T.
Yes.
See you.
We are going to do this. The checks have been written. It's going to be about 2 to 3 hours, one Saturday, in our nation's capital in late October for some nice people to get together for fun, maybe some special guests, and some great conversation. It'll be like being in a chat room, but real. I don't know. Seems like a pretty reasonable request. See you October 30th on the National Mall, spreading the timeless message.
We'll be right back. And the courts instead opted for a new system, one that affectionately came to be known as Cashocracy. This clever new system was particularly beneficial for fellows like Jasper P. Huxteroo and his platform of turning up, down, and down up. With Jasper's new cashocratic rights, he could benefit from unlimited funding provided by Nobody Knows.
What you're doing business with you.
Because in a cashocracy, the money behind the politics remains wonderfully hidden, thanks to a glorious combination of numbers and letters and pleasant-sounding names. Better still, Jasper's candidacy of up is down, down is upism received a tremendous boost when corporations were declared real live boys who could contribute endless millions. With corporations now people and people now hidden, the fruits of cashocracy really rolled in. But Jasper wanted complete cashocratic success, so he used part of his own personal Huxteroo fortune to fund his campaign, just like other bazillionaire candidates. Up is down, down is upism gained in popularity. Political consulting firms gained in profits, and Jasper's cashocratic success had arrived. Cashocracy, taking the guesswork out of democracy, $1 million at a time.
The sex organs don't belong to us, not as individuals. They belong to the collective. And as such, the human penis is nothing other than the telephone through which God speaks.
Men they gave me.
Hey, boss. Let the party.
Why don't you get a job, Spicoli?
What for?
You
All I need is some tasty waves, cool buzz, and I'm fine. I'm so wasted!
Why do you shamelessly waste my time like this?
I don't know. Do you have a guy like me in class every year? You know, a guy who you make an example of?
You'll find out next year.
You dick!
You worked at All-American, bro.
Hi, I'm Chip Womack, and welcome to Republican Sex and Marriage Advice. Today, we're going to listen to a person considering a very serious issue.
Hi, my name is Ryan. I'm married, and I'm thinking about having an affair. I had one before, and I didn't get caught, but I'm trying to remember the reasons why I shouldn't have one.
Because you'll be alone looking up at a fluorescent light in a nursing home, and no one will hold your hand, not even your children.
But what if I don't get caught?
Why are you